Tonight, I want to turn your Bibles with me, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I want you to think about something that Paul says here. He's trying to paint a picture for us, trying to get us to think, if you will, upon a love that was out of this world. A love that was beyond us, or that is beyond us, I should say. In Romans chapter 5, look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely or rarely a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, suppose for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. There may be people in this room that will die for their friend. There may be people in this room that will perhaps die for their loved ones. But how many people in this room will die for ungodly people, sinners, people that were your enemies? How many? Would you give up your son or your own life for someone that just didn't want anything to do with you, despised you, hated you? But God demonstrated or showed his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Peter was one that spoke maybe too soon. Simon Peter said unto the Lord, whither thou goest? And Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Where was he going? To the cross. Where was he going? After the third day to be raised from the dead and seat on the right hand of God. And then Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Really? Good desire, but did he? Not now. He did when the Holy Spirit of God came and empowered him and gave him that love that's out of this world. I mean, out of this world. Spoke too soon. Many of us speak too soon, don't we? But the Lord God showed us a love that he demonstrated to us that is a love that buys us. It's a love that brings us to repentance. I wasn't brought to Christ because of the fear of judgment, although I did fear judgment. I was brought to Christ by the love I saw on the cross. When the Spirit of God illuminated my mind about how much he loved me and died for me and took my place, it was there that I fell in love with God and said, how can it be? How can it be? The love of God, no greater love. Died for the ungodly. I want you to see a few verses, Galatians 1:4. Have a look, Galatians 1:4. We'll just skip a few over for the sake of time. Talking about Jesus who gave himself for who? Our sins. Jesus didn't come and die for you because you were a good person. Or he was related to you. He died for your sins. He gave his life for your sins. And have a look at the next verse. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for who? For us. He gave. See, love, this love gives, but not for an ordinary good perhaps person or loved one, but for an ungodly wicked person. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for it. Can you do that? No way. I can't do that. But what? Hold a minute. Did the apostles do that? Were they martyred for those whom they were preaching to? Absolutely. Where did they get that love from? A love that's beyond us. What a love. And this is the love that helps us live for Christ. But this is a love that we need to remember tonight so we can be encouraged to continue to live for Christ. Remember this love. And look at the next verse, Titus 2:14. Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he may redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. Have a look at the next verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We're going to skip a few verses. I want to ask you a question. Why was Jesus willing to lay down his life for sinners? For sinners, wicked people. Well, first of all, his love for the Father. I want you to see John chapter 14, verse 31. We'll go through these verses rapidly. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go. Speaking to his disciples, wanted the world to know that his love for the Father was evident. You know why he laid down his life for sinners? Because he was loving the Father. I want you to see another verse in John chapter 4, verse 34. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him. Oh, that's all right. That's a verse that I want too, but you back it up a bit as well. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish whose work is it? The work of God, the will of the Father. You know what he said? He said, my meat, you know what he was saying? This is what I live for. I live for the will of the Father, because I love the Father, and I want everyone to know that I love the Father. How? By laying down his life for you. Wow. A selfless love, sacrificial love, a love that's beyond us, a love that saves sinners to the uttermost. And have a look at the next one in 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that what? Please him. The two works that he finished, the work of gathering his disciples together, John 17, and the work on the cross. And these were the work of the Father. And this is an evidence of his love for him. But it's also, listen, a love for us. Did you know that Jesus Christ did not, as we see in the scriptures, he perhaps said, I love you to people, but they're not recorded for us. We just heard about the rich man. The Bible talks about how he loved him. Behold, and he loved him. And in John chapter 15, he says, as I have loved you, love one another. So he talks about this general love that he had for them, but he didn't walk around and say, I love you and I love you and I love you and I love you. No, why? Because you saw it. He didn't have to say it. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to say it and having some affection like that. But you saw it in his life. He didn't have to say it. His life spoke it. He demonstrated this love. Talk is cheap, really, if you would like to say, talk is cheap. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Show me you love me. He did. For God commendeth or demonstrated or showed his love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And let me just add this. That's how God wants us to live for one another. Yes. Did you know that? That's how he wants us to exhibit this kind of love. In the family of God. Yes. God's family wants us to lay our lives one for another, living for each other. First John talks about that. This great love. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It's right in the beginning of our verses. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, if you'd find it there. You see, he didn't have to say, I love you, because he served and you saw it. He didn't say, I love you, because he suffered and they saw it. He didn't say, I love you, because he was slain and they saw it. They saw the love of God. They saw it. I hereby perceive, understand, we, the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Who did? God. Yeah, God manifested in the flesh, didn't He? And we ought to lay down our lives for who? The brethren. May God give us and help us to have this kind of love. You know, God has a love that is out of this world for everybody. For God so loved who? The world. He died for the ungodly. He has a love that is out of this world for the world. I met a lady named Tony in Hamilton. And God was so gracious to her that this love was manifested right before my eyes in a divine appointment. I was speaking to Tony and talking to her about the gospel and if she considered God and the God and Jesus or the Bible, and she said, "No, I haven't been in church for 4 years." I said, "What happened? Why?" "Something had taken place. You've been hurt." And she goes, "Yes." And then as I was talking to her, and I don't normally do this, but Desiree and Nicholas were at the airport, and she had called me the second time, so I thought, something's up, I need to take this course. I said, "Tony, please excuse me, and I still want to talk to you." I took the phone call, I said, "Hey, Desiree." And I spoke to Desiree for quite some time and then hung up the phone and continued to speak with Tony, and about 2 minutes later, I found a tattoo on her arm here with letters about this big, Desiree. I said, "Who's that?" "Desiree." She goes, "That was my daughter." I said, "Where's she?" "She had a date on top of it. She died." I said, "Did you hear who I was talking with just earlier?" She goes, "Yeah, that's weird." I said, "Desiree, that's not a common name. Yeah, I mean, you've got to understand. Could it be that God is speaking to you? And could it be that your daughter's with Him? I don't know. But I'm sure that 4 years old, she perhaps wasn't on the at the age of accountability. Do you understand? God is reaching out to you, loves you." Cut a long story short, she said, I'll definitely consider this." I said, "What you perceive to be weird is God's providence. There's no coincidence with God. You know, God's love is extended to a world, and sometimes, listen, we don't even see it because we're so selfish and we're in love with ourselves. And this reminds us about a love that was selfless and was consumed with loving the Father, listen, and loving us. That's God. That is God. Consumed with doing the will of the Father and loving us. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread." This is the Last Supper, and this is where the Lord's Supper is introduced. Jesus took bread, He blessed, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took, He blessed, He broke, listen, and don't miss it, and He gave. This whole picture is a picture of how Jesus gave His life for us. And what God wants us to remember is that very thing. For it's this love that constrains us to live for Him. Acts chapter 2, and look at verse 41. "And they that gladly received His word," what happened? "They were baptized. Those that repented," verse 38 talks about a repentance, turn from their ways, turn to Christ, believed on Him, received the word. Right after that comes baptism. Baptism is not for your salvation. Baptism comes after your salvation. Baptism is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of what you say that you believed. And then the Bible talks about how they were added to the church, And in verse 42, they continued, as we heard tonight, steadfastly, and just continue. They continued, that steadfastly means they perhaps did it with a passion, and they were steadfast and unmovable and always abounding. They were faithful. In what? The apostles' doctrine, this is the New Testament scriptures, fellowship, the right kind of fellowship, the gospel fellowship, amen, striving together for the sake of the gospel, and then breaking of bread and in prayers. Paul the apostle says to the church at Corinth, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, look at, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The prophet of old prophesies regarding the Lord Jesus, how he said, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Jesus paid it all, and he did it for you. And he wants us to remember that. Now, after the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." He says, "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." What? Demonstrate. Commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you.